Let's turn to Job chapter 22 in verse 21. This is our main text for everything we're going to read, every series we're doing here on the Godhead, G3, the Godhead. This is our main text. We're going to go to it every time. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. One, I've said this, I'm going to say it every time. I love that God says acquaint now thyself with him. Who is him? We're talking about who? God. Acquaint yourself with God. It's impossible. It is impossible to know the Lord. Well, God doesn't tell us to do anything that we can't do. How horrible would that be? How horrible would it be to me to get my kid and tell her, now, dinner is on top of the fridge. Go ahead. You can eat as much as you want. You know, how cruel is that? She can't get on top of the fridge. Actually, she might surprise me. She's pretty good at surprising me. Whatever. Put it on the roof. I'm pretty positive she can't get on the roof. She, again, might surprise me. But it's on the roof outside. You know, if you want to eat, there it is. How horrible of a parent would I have to be to tell my child to do something that she could never obtain, that she could never get to, that she could never do. But sometimes we claim that God is a mean parent. That he is a parent that will tell us to do something and put requirements in the Bible for us to get to him that we could never do. If God says acquaint yourself with him, guess what you can do? You can acquaint yourself with the Lord. You can know him. And so this is one of the reasons why we're going over the Trinity and who he is as a Godhead is to understand God. Let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 9. And while we're turning there, I want to go back to that. Acquaint thyself with him. Be at peace. Hereby good shall come unto thee. I want to tell you something. When you acquaint yourself with the Lord, it is impossible for good not to come to you. Good will come to you when you get to know God better. And so we've got to understand who God is. And as we do, God promises good will come unto us. Jeremiah 9 and 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he that understands and know me, that I am the Lord which exercises love, loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in this earth, for in these things I delight, saith the Lord. Now, I want you to look back at 24, right here. But let him glory in this, that he understands and knoweth me. God is telling us it's possible to understand and know him. I'm not saying you're going to predict everything the Lord's going to do. I'm just saying you can understand him. You know, I understand my mother and father, and they do things all the time that I don't expect or whatever. But, you know, they blessed me, and I didn't see the blessing coming. But I knew. It's just them. It's who they are. It's classic. It's classic mom and dad. They always bless me. They give to me, and I don't always know. And I know one thing. When a check comes for a meal, I'm going to have to be very quick. I'll tell you. Y'all don't let them know this. But when I go to the restroom, I find my waitress, and I go ahead and give her the credit card. Because I know my parents are going to beat me. And I want to be a blessing to my parents. And they're going to pay for every meal on time. So there are some things I absolutely know. And then there's some things that they bring to me that are such a big blessing that I never saw it coming. But when it comes, it's not that I don't believe they would do it. I know they would do it because I know who they are. And so God, there are some things we know are going to happen every time. God is just so faithful to his word. We're so thankful for it. And there's some blessings come there. We're not surprised that God did it because he's just good and it's what he does. But we're never not thankful that he just overwhelms us with his goodness. He just overwhelms us with his goodness. And so, but get this, I want to bring this out here. How many of you understand it's not wrong to have wisdom? Just show of hands. Okay, not wrong to have wisdom. How many of you say there's nothing wrong with working out to be healthy? All right, good. Or working out just to be good looking. I mean, you think this happens overnight? I'm just joking. There ain't nothing there. There's like one sit-up I do a day. Half when I wake up, the other half when I go to sleep. So I should be better. I plan on it. My just want to is not there yet. But in all of this, you know, there's nothing wrong with being in shape. And let's continue to read. What else did he say here? Being rich. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. Lord, I'd love to prove that. Why don't you just go ahead? I believe the Lord's going to prove that in me. Come on, that was funny. You can laugh at that a little bit. So it's all right to have plenty of money. Now, it's one thing if money has you, but if you have money, there's nothing wrong with that. So when God is pointing all this out, he's not saying it's wrong to have wisdom. Actually, he tells us to get wisdom. It's not wrong to work out or have, a healthy, fit body. God, tells us that we should take care of the temple of the body of God. It's not wrong to have money. God actually tells us to be faithful with our finances. And as we're faithful with our finances, God will cause increase to come to us. And so all these things, God is saying, don't glory in them, but what you should glory in is knowing and understanding the Lord. That's where our glory should come from. All right. Now, and we know that because Matthew 6 and 33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things that you have need of will be added unto you. So we know God ain't concerned about things. It doesn't bother him at all that you have things. He actually wants to give you things for you to enjoy. Crazy, isn't it? We serve a great and living God. Now, we talked about the omniscient. We talked about sovereign. So this week, we're going to talk about God basically knows the future. The Bible puts it in foreknowledge. When they talk about, and it's a New Testament word. Foreknowledge is a New Testament word. But there are words that are New Testament that go into the Old Testament. They don't say it in the Old Testament, but the Old Testament talks about it. And there are words in the Old Testament that are not mentioned in the New Testament, but the principles are still there. One, rapture is not in the Bible at all. It's not in there, but the principles are there. Man has given it a word. And so foreknowledge is in the New Testament, but it's not in the Old Testament. But God always talks about it in the Old Testament as well. He knew the prophet before he was born and said, I've ordained him to be a prophet. He knew it. He knew it. God knows everything, including the future. There, if you miss our life groups, oh, you missed so much. This last Our Life group, how many was there? How many were there? Y'all were here? Yeah. It was the weirdest Our Life group I could say I've ever been in. It was weird. I mean, we talked about some really, it wasn't planned to go that route, but we got into some sci-fi stuff and talking, it was just weird, all right? And it's talk about start, which is fine. I no one's ever looked at me and said, hey, you're normal. And so some things are just going to be weird, but it was so good because we started talking about God knowing everything a little bit and God knowing the beginning from the end and being involved in all and what if kind of stuff. It was just really good. I enjoyed it. And so think about it. God knows everything from the beginning to the end. God knows what you're going to do, what you're going to say. I want to say this one time. I remember thinking about this when I was in France. I was on a trip to see Shekinah Glory in Paris. They were in Paris. I was staying in Monaco, and they were, I'm trying to think how far. It was a 30-minute plane flight, I think a six-hour train drive ride. And so I got a plane ticket, and I went to see them. And I went to see them they were there for a week. And I went to see them the whole week. And I remember they asked me, a bunch of Americans came over to help them with the whole conference. And they asked me, would you take the Americans out to the Louvre? Would you do that since you're a little better at all this? I'm like, sure, I'll do it. We were in a train. We were going to the Louvre. And I remember looking around and seeing all nationalities, languages, hearing all kinds of languages in there and thinking, this will never happen again. Me being here, and the chances everybody in this cart will never be in this cart together again. And God knew it was going to happen. He knew every detail. But not only did he know every detail, I'm listening to all the languages being spoken. And he knew every conversation before they would ever happen. Every text message that's being sent out, he knew it. He knew all this. And I sometimes contemplate things that mean, just doesn't affect my life a whole lot, but it's kind of interesting to think about. And I just sat there thinking, God, this one moment that's so unique to history, and there's so many moments that are so unique to history happen all over the world simultaneously at one time, and God knows them all. Just kind of strange to think about, at least for me anyway. No, any of you think about stuff like that, or is it just me? I see a couple hands, and some of you, I think, actually do think that way, and you're like, I just don't want to be that weird right now. I don't want to admit it. And it's kind of awesome to think about it. It really is kind of awesome. And, when we talk about foreknowing, it's such a simple subject. God knows the future. But I'm going to tell you, mankind in religion has messed this subject up. They have made it so confusing. I'm trying to think. Charles Capps made this statement. I'm going to try to think if I can get it exactly the way he said it. He said, the Bible is so simple that we need, religion to confuse it. I think he said religion. He may have said ministers. I have no idea. But basically, the Bible is so simple that we need a religion to confuse it all. We need religious people to get it confused. And that's what has happened in Jesus' day. I talked about this a little bit during the offering. The tithe, such a simple concept, such a simple thing. And then it was the Pharisees who went in and said, they got so prideful and said, you know what? I tithe of cumin. I tithe of, you know, they didn't have cinnamon, but if they did, I love cinnamon, so we'll say cinnamon. And, you know, I tithe of all my spices. How many of you would like, Monday morning, Pastor Tim shows up at your door, ding dong, you open the door, I'm there. You know, I noticed it in the offering Sunday. Yeah, you had a check, but I didn't see the cinnamon. So we're going to go to your pantry right now, and I brought a lot of little baggies, and I'm going to take a tenth of all your spices. Don't you think that would be a little weird? Don't you think that would be a little out of your mind crazy? That's what religion will do for it. That's what religious-minded people, not a relationship with God, not caring about who God is, but just interested in a religion and dominating people. Religious people put burdens on you and confuse you. But Jesus said, I am the one that, you know, destroys burdens, make your yoke is easy and light. Religion will put burdens on you. God will remove them. And so in tithing, leave it to religious people to break it down to something that makes it difficult. Our job is to make the Word of God simple. You know, religion says if you don't go to this church, if you don't take these classes, if you don't take communion at this certain church, then you don't get to heaven. That's what religion will do. Then explain to me how the thief on the cross made it to heaven. I remember someone telling me, if you don't get baptized with water, you'll burn in hell. I said, what about little babies? I said, well, they go to purgatory. I said, okay. What about the thief on the cross? Well, we don't know if he was baptized. I mean, like, seriously? That's going to be your argument? I mean, like, did Jesus baptize him when it rained afterwards? I mean, like, was that the way it was done? And I asked him, I said, okay, so let me get this right. I got an old man, lived his whole life on his deathbed in the hospital. And he confesses Jesus as his Savior. And before I can push the bed over to the sink and douse water on his head, he dies. Where does he go? And they looked at me without blinking and said, he'll burn in hell. I told him, I said, my friend, you need to reread the Word of God and kind of find out who the Lord is. Because then that goes by work and not by grace through faith. The salvation. Let me tell you this. You want to know why the thief on the cross went to heaven? Because he believed Jesus was the Son of God and he confessed with his mouth. According to Romans, the only way to get to heaven is to believe Jesus is the Son of God and confess him with your mouth. Confess him as Savior. That's it. But leave it to religion to make it hard. To make it hard. Anyway, we could get into that a little more, but we're going to stop right there. All right, so let's turn to Jeremiah 1. We should make the Word of God as simple as we can. The Word of God is simple. So today, we're going to make this subject simple. Religion has kind of made God for knowing everything as kind of difficult. And maybe you've never known it to be difficult, or maybe you never know. But I've had people, you know, talk about the sovereignty of God and free will. Can it exist together? And how does God's sovereignty and how does God know everything? And, you know, there's a denomination that teaches if God knows everything and he's predestined everything, then you have no choice. Hitler must be Hitler. You must be you. Some are predestined to go to heaven and some are predestined to burn in hell. And it doesn't matter what you do. And then they get off the hook. See, this is interesting. If you believe that, you get off the hook because then I don't have to live any certain way because it's predestined. And I don't have to tell anybody about Jesus, because what if I'm telling somebody about Jesus that's predestined to go to hell? Then I'm just fighting the will of God. Yep. So I don't even need to share the gospel. I don't even need to live the gospel. If somebody asks me, it doesn't matter. I have no responsibility because I'm just a puppet controlled by God. I want to say this morning. No one is predestined to go to hell, and God makes no one accept him as Savior. There is free will. And I want to tell you something. Free will and the sovereignty and the all-knowing of God in predestination can all exist. And it's religion who's messed it up. And I know some of your minds right now are going tilt, 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 tilt. And it's because religion got into it. You're going back to what you've been taught. And you're like, how can that be? Blah, 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 blah. I've had this same problem. I've had the same problem when I study and read on this subject. But we're going to go right through it because we're going to get rid of all the religious thinking. We're going to get rid of it, and we're going to go right to the Word of God and let the Word of God explain the Word of God. All right? I'm so glad you're there. Where did I tell you to go? Jeremiah 1 and 5. Before I formed thee in thy belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee as a prophet unto the nations. So God knew him before he was ever born. Before the foundations of the world, he knew him. Do you know God didn't only know him, but he knows you? How interesting. Some people believe that God knows certain people because they have a destiny, but everybody else, they just happened. They just happened. No, I'm going to write this down. Are you ready? Acts chapter 2 and verse 23. Him, now this is Jesus, him being delivered by the determined counsel for knowledge of God. Now this word for knowledge is only mentioned in the New Testament, but the subject of it is in the Old Testament. God knew before the foundation of the world that Jesus would go to the cross. Knew it before the foundation of the world. Guess what? Jesus, before the foundation of the world, knew he was going to the cross. Jesus knew he was going to die on the cross before the world was ever created. I'm going to prove it to you. All right? Let's keep reading. Write this down. 1 Peter 1, 2. Now, this is what throws a lot of people off. But we're going to get this. We're going to cover it. Elect. Now, you know what the word elect means? We have elections. Power of privilege. You're making a choice. Choosing. The elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father. So some people will take that verse and say, see, God chose people before the foundation. He chose them. He chose them. Well, guess what? The Bible tells us that he chose everyone. Everyone on the face of the earth was chosen by God. He wishes that all would come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. All would be saved. That's the word. That's out of the mouth of God. I wish everyone would get saved. Will everyone? No. I'm sure you can look at your own family. I look at mine. And I say, I wish they would just stop doing that. I wish they would get out of a cycle. I wish they would stop, causing these things to happen in their life. And it's sometimes so easy to see everybody else's, but not so much to see the cycles that we're in. I'll just leave on that note. And so it's so easy to see, and sometimes it's so frustrating to watch them walk through those cycles. So frustrating. But in all of this, where was I going? I don't know. The election, we have the power and privilege of making that choice. And whether we see the choice or not, it's there. We make it. Now, the word elect here is the Greek word. Are you ready for this? Electos. Electos. And that is a southerner pronouncing Greek. It means picked out or chosen. Picked out or chosen. Now, there are people who say our free will does, we have free will, but yet it doesn't matter. Because God has predestined everything. And that this world is on a track like a train, and it is going to get to the end. Now, when you talk about a worldwide scope, I absolutely agree. Worldwide scope. This world is predestined. This world has a beginning, and this world will have an end. I say this all the time. People ask me, do you believe in global warming? And I tell them, absolutely, yes. The Bible says this world will burn to a crisp. That God will melt this earth. It's not going to get 110, 115, 130. We're talking about melting the face of the earth. And then God will recreate it. Read Revelations. It's in there. So you can't get much hotter than that. But this is something that the Lord's hand will have to be involved in to have happen. And so and not only that, but yeah, there are events that are going to happen. There will be an Antichrist that will rise up. There will be something that will, I can't say I know exactly what will happen, but the Bible tells us foreknowledge that his head will be wounded. He will fall down. He will basically come to the point of death. He will come back and rise up, and the nations will say he is Lord. That will not be diverted. It cannot be stopped. It is written in prophecy. It will happen, and there's nothing we can do to change it. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so there are events that are on this thing, but us being involved in those events are absolutely our free will. Our free will. How can that be, Pastor? We're going to get into it. I know it still may be a little confused, but if you pay attention and you stay hooked up, I guarantee you by the end of it, you'll understand. You'll understand completely. And so in this, there are some events, but your choices are 100% yours. Good and bad. Good and bad. They are 100% yours. Your abilities. All right. Now, you know, some people don't like that teaching. You want to know why? Because it puts it all on them. And it's so easy to be able to blame other people. We like to blame other people. We like to do that. It's the foundation of our lives as humankind. Lord, it was the woman. The woman. Lord, it was the snake. I do wonder, I always contemplate, what if Adam would have fell on his knees and said, Lord, it was me. I'm sorry. I failed. I failed you. You said it. I messed up. I wonder what would have happened if he would have just took responsibility. We'll have to ask the Lord that when we get there. I'd be interested to know what the Lord would have done. Now let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Now you had no choice. There are some things you had no choice in. You had no choice to need in a Savior. You had no choice in that. You were born into sin. You were born into a sinful world because of Adam's nature, because what happened in the garden. That was forced on us. You know who forced that on us? The enemy, the devil. You know who hates your free will? It's not God, it's the devil. The devil hates your free will. If he could rip your free will away from you and possess you, he would. He absolutely would. Now get this. You know, the world, religion talks so much about the devil and gives him so much credit and so much power. But it's interesting to think about. Your free will is stronger than anything the devil has.
That's right.
Your free will is stronger than any power Satan possesses. And all his might, if every devil in hell showed up at the time that you gave your life to the Lord, if Satan and every devil came to stop you, he can't stop you from accepting Jesus as your Savior. There's nothing he can do. All of the enemy's power is not greater than your free will. That's amazing. That's dumbfounding. That's revolutional. Why hasn't the church talked about this? Why haven't we talked about this? That our free will is stronger. And our free will is not the strongest thing we have tapped into. We got a power that's greater than us. But us in ourselves, our free will is stronger than anything the devil has to offer. We could sit here and just contemplate that for the next 10 minutes. It's just a little dumbfounding, isn't it? It is to me. I'm telling you, studying for this just kind of blew me out of the water for a little while. But the devil hates your free will. And we already said this, but no one's predestined to hell and no one's predestined to heaven. Romans 8 and 29. Let's go there. Let's go there. Question. If the word of God contradicts what you believe, who's right and who's wrong? The word of God is right. You are wrong. If the word of God contradicts what you believe, you change what it is you believe. Because if you're right or God's right, I'm going to bet on God every time. Has anyone ever said, maybe you can join me? I'm going to put my hand up because I already know the answer for me is yes. Have you ever believed something and then found out, thought it was the word, thought it was honest truth, and then you found out it wasn't? Me too. Me too. I was taught something that was completely wrong. And when I found it, looked in the Word of God, I'm like, oh, well, go figure. You know what you got to do? You got to change what it is you believe. Amen. But mama, I love mama. I love mama. And I ain't going to say nothing bad about mama. But if God and mama disagrees, I'm going with God. But my great aunt, again, I don't want to talk about your great aunt, but I know she was a saint. Your grandma, everybody, your grandpa, everybody's a saint. Wonderful people. But if they disagree with the Word of God, the Word of God. Oh, how about this one? My preacher. Oh, I love your preacher. Okay, that was like a delayed reaction for some of you. Your preacher's awesome. He's amazing. I love him. I want to take care of him and bless him. Oh, Shandai. Your pastor. And so, if your pastor disagrees with the Word of God, who's right? It is always God. It is always God. Romans 8 and verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, this is what trips a mess load of people up. But this very scripture is the answer. This is the answer. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. What? I want you to underline. If you underline or highlight or do whatever, I want you to underline or highlight foreknow and predestinate. Now, foreknow. Are you ready? For in the Greek, it's prognosku. Prognosku. Now, it means to have knowledge beforehand. So God foreknew, he had knowledge beforehand. All right, now predestinate. Are you ready? Pro or zidzo. Proazidzo. Perfect. Now, what does that mean? To decide beforehand. So let's look at this. How can God foreknow and decide beforehand? I think the answer is right there if you think about it. God knows the beginning from the end, does he not? Nothing takes God by surprise. This service, you showing up, did not take God by surprise. Every failure, let's think in your mind for a second. Think in your mind. One of the biggest failures you've ever done, you've ever made. I don't know if it embarrasses you or you just think, oh my God, how did I do that? Think. You got it? God knew that was going to happen. God absolutely knew your biggest failure was going to happen. And this is what I love. He foreknew it, and then he predestined a plan to get you out of it. That's how predestination and foreknowledge goes together. Everything, because God is the beginning from the end. First of all, you can't even grasp time. You can't even grasp time. Time is for you. God is not time. The Bible says that God is in all of it. All right, if you want to break it down to absolutely how time works, I'm not going to get into this too because this will trip you out just a little bit. You ain't never been tripped out like this until you start to try to grasp time. Time is for you. You're right now. But God is in your past. And that's right now for him. God is right now with you. And that's right now for him. And God is in your future. And that's right now for him. Jeremiah put it this way, a wheel within a wheel. Yes. God has spokes that reaches out to your past, your present, and your future. And when you pray for something right now, he goes back into the past, causes something to happen that you prayed for right now, and then puts it in your future. But see, this is it. Don't clap yet because you haven't got it yet. You ready? But we're still seeing this from linear. We're still seeing, I'm praying now. So God went back in the future to get something went back in the past to get something for the future. No, God is in all of them simultaneously, and none of them binds him. None of them binds him. But this is about predestination. If God knows everything, you might have plan A. You might have already messed up plan A. Anyone? Okay. You're on plan. Some of you are on plan A. You went through the alphabet and had to start over so many times that you're on like plan A 25. You know, 25 A's. But this is the thing. God knew that your plan was going to mess up for 25 A's. He knew it. And so he predestined a plan for your life that fit around the decisions he knew you were already going to make. So your free will exists, but even in your free will, God knew what you would choose and predestined a path to get you on track. And then this is what I love. God said everything that comes into your life, everything that comes for your life will work for the good of those who serve me, who love me. Even if it's your fault. God says, I will take a bad idea that you had, a bad plan that you had. And it might cost you something. And it might take you down the wrong path. But I promise you one thing. I will turn it around and make it work for your good. I predestined. The predestined is not on your decision. The predestined is because of your decision. See, we've been thinking about it. People get it wrong. God foreknew every decision you would ever, not, never, ever, 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 ever make. He knew it. He knew you'd come to church today. He knows what your next decision is. And so because of your free will, and him knowing exactly what you were going to do, because he is the end from the beginning. He said, I predestinated. I predestined. I made a destiny for them that would get them back on track. Oh, my goodness. This is going to make, this is going, let's just let this simmer in for a few minutes. Because we're going to get to a point that's just explosive. At least it is for me. And if you don't react like I do, I'm just going to run by myself. I am just going to run by myself. Galatians 1:15. Get there. Oh, this just means so much to me. God knew every decision I was going to make. And then even the bad ones. Even that worst one that you had in your mind. He said, I will turn it around to make it work for your good and for your benefit. And not only that, but he'll take that bad decision and he'll cause you to help other people not make that bad decision. And if they did make that bad decision, help them know that he knew and he already made a plan to get them back in. See, this is the way religion will look at it. Religion will say, God, you know, hold on. Because God knew you were going to make that decision. And if I can just get you to hold on long enough, if we can pacify you, if we can encourage you long enough, and you hold out till you die, then you get to go to heaven. Praise God. That's not the way God looks at it. Oh, I'm about to explode up here. I feel like the bursting of 1,000 suns. I want to put this up. I want to put this in your mentality. I love this. I thought about this, I think it was Thursday. I was sitting in my office thinking. Now, I'm talking earth years. Because with God, I mean, how do you really measure that? But in 1.5 billion earth years, in 1.5 billion years from right now, God knows what I'm going to be doing. Have you ever thought about that? Sorry. In 1.5 billion years from right now, I'm going to be doing something. I have no idea what that is. But do you know who does? The Lord. Have you ever thought about 1.5 billion years in the future for you? Made any retirement plans? Any nest eggs you're building up? I mean, for 1.5 billion years, anyone? I don't know. I have no idea what I'm going to be doing in 1.5 billion years. But God does. My spirit is eternal. And I will be here in one point, well, maybe not right here. But I'm going to be somewhere in 1.5 billion years. And I have no idea where that is. But the Lord does. I need my own show on the History Channel. Because they talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. I think this could freak some people out. Religious people would be tripping right now. Now, are we ready? What did I tell you? Go for Galatians. Galatians 1 and 5, 1 and 15. But when it pleases God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by his grace. God separated you, knew you before you were ever even created. Now Romans, write this down. Romans 8 and 30. Moreover, did he, oh wait, sorry, we just read that. But I'm going back to it. Moreover, did he predestine them that he also called? For even he called them, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. Now, I just want to, yes, God's glory is on you. But I want to talk about this for a second. Now, what is called? English language, what is this? Tense-wise. Past tense. God said, I called you already. I already called you. Some of you may say, I haven't stepped into my call. Don't matter. God has already called you. Remember, let's think about time with the Lord. No time. God has already called you. In his eyes, you're glorified. You're called. You're justified. Everything. Already. Right now. Whether you feel it or whether you don't, it's already done. Already done. Now, so past tense, God already called you. He already justified you. Now, yes, God's glory rests upon you. But I just want to take this. Where do we see bodies glorified in the Bible? Where it says Jesus was glorified. Moses was glorified. Where did this happen? It was when their bodies were either glorified. Moses was already dead. Not the glory that shined from Moses, but he was glorified. He came upon a temple, remember? Came upon the mountain with Jesus. And Jesus' body was glorified. Moses was glorified. Yep. So what if, I'm just putting this out there, what if this glorification is when we lose our body and we're glorified in heaven? What if that's what it's talking about? What if? Now, and if that be the case, God says, I've already glorified you. Amen. I'm still in my body. Yes, but it, with God, you're glorified. It doesn't matter. Well, what if I mess up tomorrow? God already knew you'd mess up tomorrow. And God says you're glorified right now. And so this is what I want to pull out. To God, it's already done. Let's turn here. Ready? Romans 8, you're already there. Jump down to verse 31. Are you ready? I don't even know if I can handle this right now. If I go, I feel like I'm so excited right now, I could just leave this up body. If I leave this earthly body right now and just go to heaven, let me be. Because I have a feel, I mean, like, I feel so, this so blows me out of the water. I feel like I could just walk into heaven right now. If I do, Jesse, the life insurance is in my file. Just get it and be happy and move on. Take care of my kids. Okay. 31. What shall we say then? In other words, how in the world does this affect my life? How does it affect my life that one, God foreknew, he predestined, and then he called me, justified me, glorified me. How does this affect me right now? And then it continues. If God be for us, who can be against us? What shall separate us from the love of God? No one. Shall trial or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. Now, including myself, I've used this scripture many times. It's brought me great encouragement. But I don't believe I've ever seen it exactly the way I needed to understand it. So when you take this and put this into context, we're already glorified, we're already called, we're already justified. God already foreknew, and he predestined. That is the mentality of all this scripture. So we're reading this, understanding God already seen the beginning and he already seen the end of earth and this body. He's already seen it. And so then he goes into what shall separate us. And I have taken this, if God be for me and God is on my side, what can separate me? And that's pretty powerful. And that's true right there. If God's on your side, what can separate you? But how about this? Someone who has seen the end from the beginning is not telling you, if you just hold on, Jeff, you're going to make it. If you just wait, don't mess up, stay on track, Jeff, stay on track. Trying to motivate Jeff to stay on track. Come on, you can do it. You're almost there. Look, the end of your life is right here. Jesus is coming back. You don't mess up. Keep going. If I be for you, who can be against you? And that's always been almost the mentality. It's God is just telling me to hold on. You're almost there. What if this is what the Lord is saying? Jeff, I've already seen your whole life. I've already seen it all. I've seen every decision you're going to make. I know what's going to happen tomorrow. I know what happened yesterday. You don't even remember what you ate yesterday, but I do. I got it all. I know it all. Nothing shall separate you. And I'm not telling you this, trying to tell you to hold on. I've seen your end. I predestined your path because I've seen the decisions you were going to make. And there is no famine. There is no sword. There is no trial. I'm telling you, someone who has seen your whole life, I've already seen your end. I'm not trying to encourage you. I'm telling you the future. Nothing shall separate you. You will stand in the gates of heaven. You will come through. You will enter into paradise. It's already been done. I've glorified you. I have called you. I've seen your whole life and you make it. You're the one who decides to make it. God is not trying to encourage you. He's saying, I've seen your end. I've seen it, and you make it. Not hold on. You're almost there. You've already done everything you need to do. Yes, predestination can survive with foreknowledge and your will. The way it works is God has already seen the beginning from the end. He already knows the choices you will make. And He already gave a path. And it doesn't matter if you messed up 7 times 7 or 7 times 70 in one day. God says, I've predestined those who knows me. I foreknew your entire path. And those who choose me, I've already foreknown all that would happen. And I've given them a path. And your free will is what the predestination is all about. See, we've been looking at predestined as it overrides the free will. The predestination is because of the free will. God already knows what decisions you're going to make, and He put the path to get you back on. He made a way for you to get back on path. And so you can live today not wondering, am I going to make it? You can live today saying, I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. And God has already seen my beginning from the end. And He's telling me, looking in my future, already seeing it done. That one, I'm called, I'm justified, I'm glorified. And there's not one tribulation that will pop up in my life. There's not a distress. There's not a persecution. There's not a famine. There ain't nothing that I can hide from Him. There is no problems. And there is no war. Nobody that will ever separate me from my God. My Jesus. My Lord. I hope you get that as much as I did. I'm going to lay down and just go home and be with Jesus. I think I'm done. My God. I want you to understand that. God has already seen your whole life. And He is telling you, from someone who has seen the end of your flesh, the life of this flesh. The Bible says your inward man is renewed every day. But this flesh deteriorates. And you can pump as much Botox and hair club for men and paint it as much as you want to. And I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm saying some of you look better because of it. But what I am saying is this will deteriorate. But the inward man will live forever. And in 1.5 billion years, God knows what you're going to be doing and where you're going to be. He's already seen the end. He sees it. He knows it. He's eternal. You're infinite, or He's infinite and you're finite. You're finite and He's infinite. There's an end to your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding, and there's none to His. You make it. Look at your neighbor and say, you make it. Look at your other neighbor and say, what are you going to be doing in 1.5 billion years? Oh, let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you for knowing.